Okay, good afternoon. Welcome back to our Thursday Parsha call. We've been on a little bit of a hiatus, but I'm happy that we can once again learn together and prepare for Shabbos this week, Parsha's Toldos. Try to leave you with a few vorts, a few ideas, a few things to think about of the Parsha, and hopefully a little bit to bring to the Shabbos table as well. So the Parsha starts off, Ve'ela Toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham holvid es Yitzchak. So the parsha talks out, talking about this, the generations and the transfer from Yitzchak, from Avram to Yitzchak, and it tells us why Yitzchak ben Avraham shana b'kachto Rivka bas Pesuel arim padan Ramachil sabon harimel Elisha, and Yitzchak married Rivka. Vayetar Yitzchak noachach, vayetar Yitzchak l'Hashem noachach ishto ki akrahi, and Rivka was barren; she didn't have children. Vayeoser lo Hashem v'tahar Rivka ishto. And they davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll get back to that a little bit later. And Rivka became pregnant. And the children were wrestling inside of her. They were moving. And she was very, very troubled. Why was she so troubled? So Chazal very famously point out, and Rashi comments as well, that when they would go past the house of Avodah Zarah, so suddenly she would feel a lot of movement inside the womb. And when they would go past the Beis Medrash, she would also feel a lot of movement. This was very, very bothersome to her. And so she goes out to seek guidance from Shem and Aver, the Gedolei Hador. And they says, because Lama Zanochi, she was so frustrated. So she went to George with Hashem. Vayomer Hashem lo shnei goyim bevit nechitz, two nations who shnei lomim miyachi paredu, ulo milom yematz v'rav yavod tzayir. It's two different nations, two coming from very, very different perspectives. And apparently this satisfied her. What was her concern? So it seems to be from the answer that her concern was that it was one child. And one child that's being pulled just as strongly and emphatically and energized to the Beis Medrash into the Avodah Zarah is very difficult. You can't have one person being pulled in that direction. It's a tremendous challenge to overcome. So when she heard it's two different nations, there's a Yaakov and there's an Esav, there's a Yaakov who's being drawn towards the Beis HaMedrash, there's an Esav who is being pulled towards the Avodah Zarah, so she had a certain amount of Yishev Hadas. There was a certain amount of calming her down, because now when it's two different people, so there's not that confusion. One person is just being pulled in opposite directions is very hard to deal with. It's easier to deal sometimes when you have a clear mahalach, a clear path, and then you have to figure out, okay, how can I steer it in the right direction? And it seems a little bit difficult. What exactly, how Esav had no chance, it sounds like, from the beginning. So why is it Esav's fault? From conception, from the time he's in the womb, he's already being pulled towards Avodah Zarah. He is the Ish Sodeh, he's the hunter. So he had no chance. So it seems to be that that's not the case, and that everybody that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into this world has the Bechira, has the opportunity, has the potential. But we start in different places. And some people do have a Netiyah, some people are more inclined towards negative Midos, or less inclined towards spirituality. And that's something which is not a reason for them to give up, that it's a foregone conclusion, an Esav is going to end up like an Esav. No, it's not like that. It just means that when a person has that, they have a different challenge, and they have to figure out how to take that energy and to overcome it. But the ability is there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't put us into a situation in which we have no choice. He determines what our wealth is going to be, what our IQs are going to be. Many things are determined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Tzadik or Rasha is not. And even if a person has an Atiyah, he has the potential to overcome it. And the truth is, when a person can overcome that, it's even greater. The reward for a person is able to say, okay, it's difficult for me to get out of bed, it's difficult for me to help others. It's difficult for me, whatever the challenge. I'm stingy by nature, but I have the money to be able to help others. But I can overcome it. I could do more, or I'm drawn towards whatever else it may be. And then I decide, no, I can do that. It's the Funtzar Agra. It's the opportunity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is what you have. And then you have to figure out how to resolve it. When it's one person being pulled in the directions, that's a very difficult situation. But even when a person has this, Esav was not, it wasn't done. Esav still had that opportunity. And that seems to be what the Torah is relating to us, that the Torah is relating to us here. A little later on, it says, Vayigdulu ha'ne'arim, they got older, Vayhi Esav ish yodei tzayid ish sadeh. And Esav is the hunter, he's the man of the field. Yaakov, each time Yosef olim, and Yaakov is sitting in the tent, he's learning Torah. And Yitzchak loves Esav. Again, a difficulty in its own right. What exactly was Yitzchak thinking? What was Rivka thinking? Why didn't Rivka tell Yitzchak? Many, many mefarshim grapple with that. But then it tells us the story of the Bechor. Vayozid Yaakov nazid. And Yaakov is making this lentil dish. Vayavo Esav nasadev hoyef. And Esav comes from the field, he's very, very tired. And he says, give me some of this, I'm very, very, I'm exhausted. And Yaakov says, I'll give it to you if you sell me the bechora. And Esav says, Hinei anochi olech lamos, I'm about to die, lama zali bechora, why do I need this right of being the first one? And Yaakov says, swear to me, and he sells the bechora to Yaakov. Yaakov nasan le'esav lechem unezir adoshim vayochel vayesht. And Esav eats, he drinks, vayokam vayelach, and he gets up and he goes, vayivez Esav es ha-bechora. And Esav gets up and he leaves, and he has made a mockery of the Bechora. It's a very strange comment, seemingly in Chazal. The Gemara of Basra says, Chamesh Averos Avar Oso Rasha Bayomahu. On that day, this Rasha, Esav, violated five different Averos. Bo'al Na'aroha Me'urasa. He is guilty of rape, Haragas Hanefesh. He killed somebody, kafar b'tchias hamesim, he denied the afterlife, kafar b'ikar, denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'shat es ha-bechora, and he did away with the bechora, he didn't care about it. And it seems to be from the language of the pasuk, vayochel, vayesh, vayokam, vayelach, that he did different actions, that's where Chazal are getting this from. But it's very strange, of all these things, which one seems to be the worst? Bizoy ha-bechora is the worst, vayivez esav is the only one which is explicit in the pasuk is the fact that he didn't show proper kavod for the bechora. Very strange. Of all these things, shouldn't the Torah have highlighted murder, terrible things that he did, kafar ba'ikar, that he denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so much more than just vayivez esav is ha-bechora. So the Mefarshim explain that at the root of all of the problems was Vayivez Esav es ha-Bechora. First it was Vayivez Esav es ha-Bechora. Once he had no respect to the Bechora, he was basically saying the spiritual doesn't matter to me. And once the spiritual is not of any significance to a person, once he can says, you know, lo shaveh li, it's not worth it to me, I don't care about Ruchnias, I don't care about the spiritual, I don't care about my relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then everything else is a natural progression. But the sort of it was that if I don't value that which is spiritual, that which is eternal, that which allows us to create a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then all bets are off. Everything falls away. And that's what Chazal are highlighting. Vayivez Esav es ha-Bechora. The first step to spiritual growth is an appreciation of what a mitzvah is, an appreciation of every moment of Talmud Torah, an appreciation of every act of chesed, of every act of kindness, of every mitzvah that we do. If we appreciate that, we understand the value of it, then we have the opportunity to build upon that. But once we say, oh, who cares? It's just once we don't have any significance to it, so then the whole system falls apart, because if I don't care about it, why should I listen to the other mitzvah? So the Soda Chazal that the Torah is teaching us is Vayivez Esav es ha-Bechora. First and foremost, we have to have an appreciation. We have to look at that which is spiritual. Even if we may not be there yet, at least it's something that I strive for. I see it as a good thing. Halavai, I should get there. But then I could take incremental steps. I could try to find a few more minutes in the day to learn. I could try to find to make sure that I have a chance to daven every day. I have a chance to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of these things are part of what we can do if we first have an appreciation. But without an appreciation for the mitzvos, then nothing will happen. The last idea is, if you look at the parsha as a whole, it really lends credence to a practice that many of us, I think, tend to be skeptical about, which is the brachos of tzaddikim. Right, you see here, you know, we hear many stories of Gedolei Hador, of Chassidus Sherebbeim, whatever it is, people going for a bracha, and mice and nisim happen. And we hear the stories, we take them with a grain of salt, a mound of salt. We're very, very skeptical of it. In rational people, it's hard to understand. But at the core of our parsha is the significance of brachos. Not only does Yitzchak, the great tzaddik, want to give his children brachos, but the back and forth of how to get the bracha, who's going to get the bracha, what happens if he doesn't get the bracha, Esav screams, he doesn't get the bracha. There's so much detail in trying to figure out what is going on with all these brachos. What's the proper perspective of the brachos? Clearly, Yaakov, Esav, Rivka, and Yitzchak all believed that there was a tremendous power in this bracha. The Abarbanel says something very interesting. The Abarbanel says that there are three different types of brachos. We have a bracha where Hashem bestows a bracha on man. Hashem beirach es Avraham bakol. Hashem blessed Avraham with everything. We have brachos that we offer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We make brachos. Again, which is not, we don't have anything to offer Hashem, but we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being the source of everything that we have. And the third one, he says, is the one that this parsha is talking about, and the one that we have to think about as well, which is a person blessing another person. What does that mean? We have the Kohanim giving a bracha to Kal Yisrael. What's the meaning of such a bracha? It's not praise, but what can I bestow upon you? What exactly is the nature of the bracha? The Ramban writes, U'bakoshas racham milov yisborach v'yaneyu v'sheyashpil ha-berchot u'lezen ha-berchot kohen kotze v'archu es b'nei Yisrael l'amor lohem yivarechecha. It's a bakasha of rachamim to Hashem that he should answer what he's trying to bless the person with. The bracha birchas kohanim, and that's the model, and that's the paradigm for a bracha which is between people, is ultimately the tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for whatever it is. It's a way of focusing, of directing a particular tefillah, not in the normal form that Chazal have, but in a very deep and profound way about a specific person. If I'm giving a bracha, I'm not showering a bracha directly on somebody else, but I can help that person by davening. I can help that person by davening. And that's what the brachos are about. Why do people go to tzaddikim? Why is that a special place to go? So imagine, if you have an important matter to discuss with the head of state, with somebody who's very difficult to access, you're trying to get an audience, and you can either get the right-hand man to allow you to get in on your behalf, or you could ask somebody that's on the outside. So the closer the person is, the more readily the request is going to be received. So when it comes to a bracha, the tefillah of a tzaddik, because that's really what the bracha is, it's tzaddik, somebody who's closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the inner circle, and that's tefillos, are more readily accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the yisod of what happened in our parsha. Yitzchak, Yaakov, Rivka, Esav, they all understood the power of this tefillah. V'yitein l'cha Hashem, mital Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you. Yitzchak was directly giving that bracha, but he was focusing in a very profound way his tefillah. And that's the power that we have in our tefillah. Whether we want to call it giving a bracha, we want to call it giving a tefillah, we have the power, the koach of tefillah, and we have to take advantage of it. We can take advantage to it for ourselves, for others, in the formal tefillahs, but if we can't always relate to the formal tefillahs, talk to Hashem, speak to Him, relate our tefillahs, and hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer those tefillahs. To leave you with a question you can think about, bring up over the course of Shabbos, we know in our parsha, Esav cries. Finds out that the brachos were given to Yaakov, and he yells out a large, and he screams, and then he cries. There are seven other places where people cry in Sefer Bereishis. What are they? Wishing everybody a good Erev Shabbos and an amazing Shabbos to follow.